I greet you all in the name of the Most High, and I want to say thank you to all my masters, and to give the glory to God for giving me this opportunity to stand before you and to share the word of God. Before going to my theme, I want us to reference the presence of God. Let's pray. Everlasting Father, once again I thank you for this opportunity. I bless your living name, I adore you, O God. Father, I stand here to share your word. Use me as your vessel. I am nothing, O God. But use me to share your word. Use me so that I'll be able to teach myself and my colleagues also will learn from your word, O King Jesus. Father, I invite your spirit. I know the spirit is here with us. Father, to give us the understanding to interpret your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. I titled the theme, The Consequence of Disobeying the Law. I'm talking of the consequence, but I cannot talk the consequence without disobedience. Because disobedience comes with this one. But first, let me try to define in a very simple terms what is disobedience. Disobedience, let me first start, what is consequence? Consequence is the result of something happening. Consequence, I said, it is the result of something happening. It means, in simple terms, it is the end product of something. And here, I'm concentrating on what? The end product of disobeying God. Because that's why I say the law. We have so many disobedience, but the disobedience today I'm talking of is not the disobedience of father, mother, disobedience to government authority. This particular disobedience I'm talking of, it is going to center around the word of God. Amen. So here I'm saying it is the end result. This one give back to this one. Without this in my text, in this contextual meaning, without this one, this will not come. So, and I took it from Numbers 20, verse 6 to 13. As we go along the line, I believe the Holy Spirit will help us to understand more. Amen. So, I want us to turn to Numbers 20, verse 6 to 13. I hope all of us are there. Numbers 26, verse 6 to 13. Let me read. It says, so Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly of the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their face, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation before me, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. And though you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drinks to the congregation and to the animals. Let me first break here. Amen. But for us to know, here the Bible is saying Moses and Aaron, they went where? They went to the tabernacle of meeting. To do what? To seek the face of God. Why Moses and Aaron went to the tabernacle? We need to know. Because of time, I want us to go back to verse 3. We'll understand what was going on at that time. There was a crisis in the land. There was a problem with the Israelites. And Moses and Aaron went to God to ask for help. If you go back to verse 2 and start to read verse 2, which I will just summarize for us to understand better our scripture, why Moses and Aaron went to the temple, the tabernacle, I want us just to watch. I will not read it, but you will read it if you have time. There was a crisis in the land, and that was water crisis. The people were going through problems.
in the land. There was no water. That was the problem in the land. No water for the people. And indeed, that was a big problem. But again, these people have God Almighty. The king that brought them from the land of the Egyptians, he was with them. But these people decided to do what? They concentrated on what? On the crisis, instead of focusing to God. And I want to bring this back to us, brothers and sisters. As a Christian, we have so many things. There are problems in our life. We have so many problems. The challenges are there. That's true. But Jesus said to us, he will send us what? The comforter. The help is there. But most times, I am guilty of it. And I believe some of you here are guilty. We concentrate on what? We concentrate on the problem instead of concentrate on God. And that's the problem. We concentrate more on what? On the problem. Instead of concentrating on God. And again, if we go to Moses, but Moses and Aaron, they decided not to follow the crowd. And I think this is a good step for us as believers. That in time of problem, the thing we need to do, and if you see here, you say, what they did? They separate themselves. They move from where? They move from the crowd. They move from the crowd. They were murmuring. They were what? Complaining. But Moses and Aaron, they decided not to murmur, to do what? To face the Almighty and to seek His face. Amen. I hope you understand the crisis. Now let's go back to our text. Now, then let me, because of time, I will just talk a bit about the tabernacle, because there are certain things that we need to know. The tabernacle here, it was an instruction given to Moses. It is a divine instruction given to Moses. And this tabernacle represents the kingdom, God's throne. It has so many things. If I say I will describe it here, I think there will not be time. But this tabernacle, it represents what? The throne of God. It represents the throne of God. So let's go to verse 9 and see the instruction given to Moses. So Moses, okay, let me read verse 8 first, 7 of it. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod and your brother and Aaron and the congregation together, speak to the rock before the highs, and it will heal water. Though you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and the animal. Amen. This was the instruction given to Moses. And I do believe it was a clear, specific instruction given to Moses. Moses, go to the rock and speak to the rock. That was the instruction. As Jesus was leaving us today, if we can relate that to us, what Jesus said to us, go to the world, preach the gospel, teach the people, teach them to become what? To do, observe everything about me. Don't go and say, this is the anointing, no oil. It is not the instruction of Jesus Christ. And therefore, brothers and sisters, I want us to pay attention to the Bible. This is the instruction of God. And equally to us today, Christ is instructing us. We are here under instruction. The instruction is, go to the world and do what? Go to the world and make disciples of me. Go to the world. It did not say go to the world and make money for yourself. Go to the world and do that for yourself. Go to the world and establish parish for yourself. No. God says, Jesus is saying to us, go to the world and make disciples. This is a simple instruction. And here again, this is a simple instruction. And I believe, since the introduction of man, since we have man, man has problem with introduction. I will take you back to Genesis, but we'll get that part. Man has problem with what? With instruction. This is a simple instruction. Moses, when you go to the rock, just speak to the rock. But let's go forward and see whether Moses obeyed or he disobeyed. And Moses and Aaron, gather the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebel, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Again, there is an important thing here for us to know. The rock here. We need to know what is the rock. These people, God loves them. The rock here is symbolized Jesus Christ. It symbolizes Jesus Christ. They have that particular, I'm not talking of other rocks. I'm not saying, my brother, when you move from this point, you go and meet a rock there, you should kneel down before that rock and say, "This rock is Jesus." No. I'm talking of the rock here in this context, it signifies Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not saying when you should go to the mountain. When you go to the mountain, any mountain, you saw a beautiful rock. You see, Brother Andrew told me the last time that this rock, it is Jesus. No. I'm saying the rock here signifies Jesus Christ. Amen. It says, verse 10, let me read 10 and 11. It says, "And Moses and Aaron assembled before the rock, and he said to them, 'Hear now, you rebel.'" And again, if you are going to this, is this the way we should preach to people? You go out there and begin to evangelize. "You sinner, if you don't repent today, you will die and go to hell." I think this is not the way to, as a man of God, to approach. We have so many things to learn from these things. This is not the way we should approach our brothers and sisters. Even if that person is a sinner or is living in a sin, you as a pastor, you have no right to begin to call. As a matter of fact, we will see, this man is a servant of God, but at this particular time, this title is given to the people. He himself is guilty of it. Most time we blame people, the thing we blame the people of, we ourselves, we are guilty of it. He's saying to the people here, if you can read well, "You rebel, must we bring water?" And what is rebellion? When they give you instructions and you fail to go abide to that instruction, you have rebelled. So in actual sense, what Moses is saying, it means that I am a rebel, because he's rebelling here according to this thing. But we know most time we accuse people of what? We accuse people of what we ourselves are guilty of. Most time when we are preaching, we forget ourselves. We think that we are preaching just to the other people. No, we should first of all do what? We should preach to ourselves. We should teach ourselves. The Bible says we need to teach ourselves. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Jesus Christ." So if you want people to teach, if you want people to understand you, you must live a practical life. Here Moses is guilty of the rebelling. He's rebelling and he's saying the people are rebels. Yes, the people are rebels. But he himself there is a rebel. Because he failed to do what? He failed to follow the instructions of God. Amen. Amen. I pray that will not be our posture. It said, "Then Moses speak to this Moses." Then the Lord speak. Verse 10. "And Moses gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he says to them, 'Hear now, you rebel. Must we bring water out of the rock?' Then Moses lift his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregations and the animal drank." You see, Moses rebelled. This is where I got my title, verse 13, that the consequences of disobeying the Lord. Amen. Verse 13. Because of this, the judgment came straight there. That Moses, because of one mistake, as a brother and sister, we should very be careful. Most times, I would say, it is not good. Yes, the devil has power. But the powerful thing that will destroy us, it is sin. The powerful thing that will destroy our ministry is nothing, it's sin. The sin you see is so small, in the sight of God, it is not small. And this part, it clearly spells us, as men of God, we need to know better. We ought to know better. Who said this thing is too small? Speak to the rock, and he decided to strike the rock. Go and preach to my people, and you decided to make gimmicks just to get money. You think God is not seeing you? You are destroying the life of others, not just you. And verse 12, let me go to verse 12 where I got this thing, the consequences. Please, I want all of us to read verse 12 so we can understand. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you do not believe me, you to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring the assembly to the land which I gave them. Automatically, the ministry of what? The ministry of Moses come to an end. This part, when I read this part, at times I feel like crying for Moses. For over 40 good years, Moses was working. It is the dream of Moses that one day they will go to the promised land. It was his dream, his lifetime dream, that one day he will go to the promised land. Equally, brothers and sisters, it is our dream that will what? End up with Jesus. We have peace with Jesus. And automatically Jesus says, you have no place in me. I don't know you. This is what he's saying. Just one simple hero. And this hero caused Moses, not just Moses, but the children of Israel, they suffered greatly. Because from this part, if you go to the Bible, you see the mistakes of Joshua. So many times Joshua was immature. Joshua had a time without consulting God. And Moses was an intercessor. Before Moses do anything, he will consult God. So you see, one sin, when you sin, your disobedience will cause your generation a trouble. In this part, I want us to go back to Genesis and see the problem there. In Genesis 2, the instruction was given to man. I've given you everything. Grab right. Take everything. Eat everything, man. I love you. Just take everything. But this one, reserve it for me. Reference me. Do not take this one. But men fail. That's why I said we have problem with instruction. Everything that is in the garden, it belongs to you. But this one, just this one. Don't touch this one. Don't touch. God did not say you should not touch. But don't eat this fruit. Yet man disobeyed God. And we know the consequences there. The consequence was hard labor. We are going through this one today. And that's what exactly I'm talking of. That each sin, there's forgiveness, that's true. Today, if you go and fornicate, yes, God will forgive you. But if you happen to have HIV, that is your own consequence. It is a consequence. You have to bear it. Or you as a student, you know you are a student. You are a lady, you are going to school. You go and do these things, and you are pregnant, and you are able to go to school. That's your own consequence. God will forgive you, but you have to bear that child. And you have to be responsible for that child. You will go through that consequence. And this is what exactly I am talking of. Let us go to 1 Samuel 15. I will just summarize it and see. There was instruction again given to whom? Saul. Saul, the Lord said, so I want you to go and kill the Amalekites. Kill all. Kill everybody. I say kill them. God knows his reason why. These people were sinners. These people at times today are referring to us as a flesh. Our flesh. God is saying to us, my brother, my sister, forget about the fleshly desire. Forget about what? The desire of the eyes. The lust, the pride of this world. Forget about it. Come to me. He says, God, I will give you these two. Okay, this one is for you, God. This one, fornication, okay, I will leave this one. This one, I will leave this one. But backbiting, when I go inside, I will talk about the masters. It is not good. You are still holding on to what? And God is saying to us, kill all the flesh. But if you read this story, you will see what Saul did here. Saul went, yes, he followed the instruction, but it was partial obedience. And partial obedience is disobedience. Total obedience is obedience. These two things, if you don't obey, you disobey. If you obey, you will not disobey. And if you obey, this will not come. It is not partial disobedience. Okay, God, this is much more. Okay, I will try to, thank you, sir. I will try to run off. So my point here is this. It is an advice for us, brothers and sisters, that we should not, as believers, we should not play with. There is no small thing. We should not play with sin. If you want your ministry to grow, you should what? Flee from sin. And this will help us greatly. And what this caused? It caused separation. We see in Genesis, if you go by that, another consequence. The Spirit will not stand. The Holy Spirit will not stand what? It will not stand sin. God will distance himself. Even our conscience.
when you sin, that conscience is in you. That's another guilt. Your prayer will not become effective. Your prayer will never be effective. And you have allowed the devil, because you have what? The shield. You break the hedge. And when God is not with you, the devil has right to strike you.
So my brothers and sisters, this is a word of encouragement to all of us, that we should be mindful about our things we are doing. That whatsoever thing we do, it will not just affect us. It's because of time. If you go to David, you will see the problem just because of one sin. David, the Israelites, more than 20,000 of them were there just for one man. The consequence was that they were not involved. But just because your one error will cause this generation a problem. The one error of someone will cause a problem. So my brothers and sisters, my encouragement to all of you is that what we should do, let us try to follow the instruction of God. And what is the instruction? It is this word. This is the instruction of God. Follow what is in this Bible, and God will help us. We have everything. The solution is there. Jesus said, I will send you the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is able to help us. Whatsoever thing we do, we need to do what? Submit ourselves to the Spirit of God. We need to ask ourselves, this thing I'm asking, I'm doing, is it of God? Is it aligned with the Word of God? If it is not in alliance with the Word of God, then my brother, forget it. And I believe if we listen to the Holy Spirit and the instructions, God will help us. Amen. I think this is my message for all of us. I want us to pray. Everlasting Father, I thank you. I bless your living name at this time. I give you the glory. Father, thank you for your word. I give you all the glory. I ask all this in Jesus' name.
All right.
Yes, brother. Yes, sir.
In your building, you said that you represent Jesus.
That's good.
How can you explain it for us?
That's fine. And that's good. I was expecting this question, and I believe through the Holy Spirit and the Bible, we'll be able to understand it. I want us to go to 1 Corinthians 10. Or someone to go to 2 Samuel 22, verse 2. And I want that person to read that scripture, please. Yes, yes. 2 Samuel 22. Yeah, you there? 22. Verse 2. Read for me.
And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress.
Yes.
And my deliverer.
Okay, this is one. If we go to 1 Corinthians 10, it will analyze everything. Not just the rock, but it will analyze everything for us to understand more. I just give you this reference for you to know that indeed the Lord is the rock, and that was the rock we were talking about.